Hard melt him in moder, hat mir skilde kaupa, fleog fagrar ora, fara brot med vikingo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. And if you're new here, a big warm welcome to you too. And I'm very honored to have you all here. It was a very long time since I had a normal episode, and it's been a blast making the Crystal mini-series. But I am really excited to get on with ordinary episodes now for a little while. And guess what, guys? On this episode, I actually have a surprise for you all. Or, well, if you listen to the final episode of the Crystal mini-series, the anhydrite one, then you already know what it is. But I have invited my very first guest, and I'm super excited. And he's not unfamiliar with podcasting. In fact, he's been the co-host of his very own show in the recent past. He is American, so he's going to put some barbecue flavor to our Swedish meatballs here today. He's also an author and has released a book a couple of months ago. And he's also currently working on yet another one. And he has always been a supportive friend ever since we first got to know each other through another person initially, with whom he also started his very first pagan podcast with. And we actually plan to do so many things together with our pods, like, for example, taking each other in as guests. And we already had planned out stuff that we wanted to talk about. But all those plans became, however, unexpectedly stopped, sadly so. So this mysterious guest is, of course, my dear friend Sam from the now cancelled show, The Two Pagans and Podcast. Welcome aboard my longship, Sam. And I'm so happy to have you here for the first time.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here today.
But you know, some of my listeners have sent me emails and also DMs on Instagram asking about your pod since they have heard me mention you and Anthony and the Two Pagans and Podcast so many times in my previous episode. And they were like, what is this show that you talk so much about and where can I find it? So I thought that maybe you can explain shortly in your own words to our listeners what happened with your show, and also please introduce yourself.
I'll start with the introducing part and then I'll go into the sadness. So I'm Samuel Johnson. I am a pagan from America, as my wonderful friend so wisely put it. And, I did a podcast called Two Pagans and. I'm an author. I wrote a book called Archosaur, which I'm sure we'll talk about sometime today. And I'm working on other books and a comic book and all kinds of fun stuff in that realm. But what happened to my podcast? Well, I'm not going to go into detail because it is a very private matter, but yeah. I will say that, you know, sometimes things end and sometimes it's not the greatest. I do hope Anthony is doing well. We don't really talk anymore, which is okay. You know, friends drift apart. But no, the show's not coming back. And that's my personal choice. I went through a lot between the months of March and July. Right. A lot. And to be honest, when we started the podcast, my life was in a much more stable position. I had a stable job and I had a house and I had everything I needed to be, you know, in a comfortable position to run a podcast. And, you know, I did a lot of the editing. I did all the editing and a lot of the social media and a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And it was a very large amount of work. It weighed very heavily on my relationship with my fiance and my family. And when we moved, I tried to keep that same level of productivity going and it just did not work. And so the show ended and it was great. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was great. And, you know, maybe one day in the distant future, I might do another podcast. But for now, I'm very happy just being here, being your guest host.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you. And I really enjoyed your podcast. So I'm sad that it's gone. But yeah, you know, shit happens.
Indeed. No, yeah, shit happens. And I want to, you know, before we get too far, I want to thank you because you were crucial. In the hard months afterwards, which we're definitely going to talk about because that's the whole point of this podcast, I think. But you were just really great, a really great friend.
Well, thank you.
And a really great ear to listen to me babble. So thank you.
Oh, I really, you know, that warmed my heart to hear. Thank you. And I always, always try to help my friends the best that I can. So yeah, thank you. It really warms.
Anytime.
You're making me blush here.
Well, good. That's the point of a guest host. I'm supposed to butter you up for letting me pitch my crap on your show.
Oh, anyway, so I have invited you over to actually talk about spiritual disconnection. And you actually inspired me to choose this topic since you DM'd me some questions and asked me for advice about all that a while ago, which you talked about. And I thought that it would make a perfect topic on my podcast as well, because spiritual disconnection really is something that is super common amongst many pagans nowadays. And I think it's important to talk about this all because there's so much confusion, sadness, and anxiety tied to that as well. And I feel like it's important that we try to put some relief to those who need it in any way. Or what do you think?
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, so let's start with explaining the term spiritual disconnection first and foremost. So what is your definition of it?
It's a hard thing really to define, at least for me. But if I had to put it into my own words, I would say it's a feeling of being alone. I'm sorry if my voice is kind of craggly. I want to put that out there now. I'm still recovering from having bronchitis. But the feeling of being alone. Because when you're in a spirituality and you worship the gods that we worship, you sometimes don't feel as alone as you normally would. And when you go through spiritual disconnect, it's like somebody took a light switch and just turned it off. At least that's how it was for me. I'm using my own personal experience here to kind of define it. It's the feeling of abandonment, of wondering if you were right to begin with. Wondering if you were walking the right path, if maybe there's another path for you that you just haven't found yet. And then in the end of it, if you're lucky, which I really feel lucky, and you have a good guide, which again, I'm gonna butter you up here.
thank you.
You can refine that light switch and you can flip it back on, which is what happened with me.
Hmm. Well, that's good that you actually could turn it on again. And my definition is that it basically means that you just don't feel and experience things as strongly as you usually do or wish for, or even don't feel anything at all at times or for longer periods of time. And you feel very unspiritual all in all and just simply feel disconnected from all things spiritual, from both maybe your craft if you're a practitioner and your faith and spirituality in general, all in all.
I would completely agree with that. Yeah, that's a much better way of putting it. I think that it's very similar to what I said, but more direct.
But yeah, I also want to ask you, Sam, like, why do you think this happened to you? And why do you think it happens to other people as well?
Okay, so understand this, you have to go with me, at least you have to go back to the beginning. And when I first, when I first started to think that maybe Norse paganism was the path for me, my first thing was to Google, how do you worship the Norse gods, which, wasn't the best way to do it. I think I should have just let myself naturally kind of flow into it instead of trying to jumpstart it. And I discovered a YouTube video that basically said you should join a group. And so my first inclination was to find, a group, to find a collective of fellow Norse pagans and, you know, and worship as a group, which to me, being an American, is something very common in, I don't know if we call it Western religion or what, but in religions, in main standard religions, like the big ones starting with a C, the thing is, you have to find a church, you have to find a group, you have to find like-minded people, and then you're set, you know, you worship together. And in paganism, that's not at all the case. And I didn't know that. So I joined a group. And the thing about pagan groups is there are hundreds of thousands of different kinds. But the thing is, you'll always find that in most pagan groups, they are structured around one person or a group of people who have put themselves above everyone else. And that's not what you're supposed to do. And that's not how it ever should be done.
No.
And we've had very long conversations about that.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to name names because I do have respect for some people in this group, but I will say within my first week of joining a group, something happened. And it made me very much question the leadership of that group. And I at that moment, I should have left. If I had left that group at that moment, I don't think I would have gone through spiritual disconnect. And I think I would have found myself a bit better and found my spirituality a bit better, but I didn't. Instead, in the general chat of their Discord, I called the leader an idiot and
oops,
began to say why he had done wrong. And this leader being fairly young, I think he was like 18 at the time. So he wasn't too young. He should have known better. Decided to promote me to what they called elder, which after only being in the faith for a few months and only being in this group for a few weeks was not the best thing to do. And so then I joined this group of elders who consisted of a bunch of people who didn't seem interested in being it. And a couple who were just there to promote their own stuff and a couple who just wanted the power. And one or two who actually wanted to do a good job, but there was no set structure. There was no, you know, there were no set rules. There was no moderation structure. It was very, it run like an anarchy. And me coming from a fandom background, being a big Star Wars fan and being part of these Star Wars groups, I was like, okay, so I'll, you know, if they're going to promote me to elder, I will pitch stuff to them. I will pitch leadership structure and how stuff should be handled. So a similar situation as to what happened when I joined would not happen again. And it did. And I will say that I was part of that group for a good year, probably half a year to a year. And I pitched a library. I became a librarian. I would go around the internet finding pagan tomes that have been uploaded to in PDF form. And I would catalog them so that when new pagans joined, they weren't reliant on word of mouth. Which was what that Discord had done for the longest time. There was just one big discussion. And if you had a question about paganism, you posted it there in the public eye and you had to wait for someone who knew the answer to answer. And a lot of people left. I will say a lot of people would join and then they would leave.
And the library
helped with that. And I met you there, you know, and we'll talk about that another day, but I will say that at some point something happened. It was so similar to what had happened whenever I first joined that I felt deja vu. And it made me realize that this group wasn't interested in spirituality, that the leader just wanted to promote his own stuff, his documentary, his that's going to be too revealing of who it is, I think, but I don't care anymore.
Spill it all out, bro.
No, because I do have respect for these people, but you know, it really feels in hindsight that a lot of these people were just promoting their own stuff. At least three of them had either published a book, were working on a book, were working on a documentary, were working on some kind of project. You know, two of them were making podcasts. Oh, wait, that was us. Not us. It was me and you, but me and my former co-host. But something happened, and we'll talk about that in another episode. And I made a very bad call. I made a very bad call as a moderator. And I kind of went along with groupthink. And after that happened, I felt guilty. I felt bad and I left. And then the podcast happened. And then my life fell out from under me. Someone opened a trap door and I fell through and my life just completely collapsed. And I had to move in very quick procession. I didn't have to move. Psychologically, I had to move because I was so unhappy in Florida. I don't think I could have stayed there for much longer and been a successful human being and a successful adult. So I sold my house, which I thankfully had paid for in cash. And had been able to, it was not an expensive house. That sounds like it was like $100,000 mansion on the beaches of Tampa. And I had paid for it in cash. No, it was a mobile home that was very nice. Please note that most houses in Florida are mobile homes before you judge me.
Okay, right.
And so I sold it, got more than I paid for it, thankfully. Didn't make all my money back because I did lose my air conditioner in a hurricane, and that sent me back $10,000.
That sucks.
So I was about $10,000 away from breaking even, but I did get enough to get a down payment on a new house. But in the process of buying that house, I began to feel alone. And, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast that during my podcast, I was doing a lot of the behind the scenes work. I was doing the editing, the social media. I was trying to expand our broadcast range. You know, we were able to, you know, reach almost every single platform we had. We were on iTunes. We were on, you know, Spotify, all the major ones we had hit. And we were getting good numbers, but it was a lot of pressure. And when I moved, I couldn't keep up that pace. I couldn't, you know, I didn't have a recording space. I was sitting in my mom's kitchen, editing episodes, and I was recording episodes in my mom's kitchen, which was not the best soundproofed area. And we were plagued with audio issues to begin with. I'll be the first to admit that we had so many audio issues, but if we had known about Zoom, which is what we're recording on, we would never have had that issue. I guarantee you. But we were recording via Discord and we didn't. And just all that pressure began to make me realize that the way I had gotten into paganism wasn't right. And I began to question, you know, was I right? Because when you join these pagan groups, you are expected to believe in a certain set of gods and walk a certain way and worship a certain way. And that's not how paganism is supposed to be.
And learn a certain way too.
Yeah. You're supposed to read certain books and study certain tomes and only read certain articles by certain people. And when you try to not do that, you get told, well, that's not a good source or that's not a good book. And I realized very on, but you know, it came down to this. I felt I had done something wrong. And then one day I woke up and I didn't feel like a pagan anymore. And it hurt. It hurt really bad. And at first I didn't feel like I could come to you. I don't know why I didn't feel like I could come and talk to you. So at first I didn't approach you. So I went through like 2 or 3 weeks just depressed because I felt so disconnected. And then I messaged you. And you gave me some really great advice. And that's how I got back on track.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
And I will say one more thing, that you don't need other devices to connect with the gods. And I had been taught that you did, you know, that you needed a patron, that you needed to go to ceremonies where they were using substances that change perception and stuff like that. And it took me a very long time to realize you don't need any of that. And you helped with that too, especially with the patron. You did a really great episode, probably my favorite episode you did, about how you don't need a patron god or goddess.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's my story and I'm sticking with it.
Well, it's a very interesting story. And I think that many of the listeners out there can actually relate to that in some ways and forms. And yeah, so I'm very happy that that episode could help you in that way. That is like one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast and doing the topics that I do. It's because I want to help people that are in the similar situation that you were in, for example, and just kind of inform them that everything doesn't have to be as these big so-called gurus, self-proclaimed gurus, are saying that you need to do or need to be. So yeah, I'm happy that it helped you in that way.
Yeah, and I'll say a lot of your episodes have helped. Your episodes are great. I will say you cover a great variety of topics, and sometimes I get to know about those topics beforehand, and I really love that because it really kind of makes me excited for episodes. And when you said you had a guest coming on, I was really excited for that.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I was just glad you had someone else to talk to for once. You were so alone in here.
Yeah, and you know, it's good with some company, and especially good company, which, you know. Anyhow, so let's get back into track. And did you have anything more you wanted to say about it before I kind of go to what I think about it all?
I just want to say one more thing, and it's pretty much just reiterating. To your listeners, don't feel confined. The biggest thing I had to learn, and it was really thanks to you, I learned this, is don't feel that you have to do something a certain way. Don't feel you have to worship a certain set of gods. Don't feel like you have to read a certain book. If you feel like you are doing the right thing in paganism, that what works for you and your spirituality is working for you, do not feel that some YouTuber who tells you otherwise is right. Do what you feel right. And do it well and have fun with it, and make sure that no matter what you're doing in paganism, you are having fun, you are connecting, and you are just feeling great about yourself and your practice and what you're doing.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. It really is like that. I mean, and that's what I've been trying to say, like in almost every one of my episodes. It's like, you know, this is how I do things and this is like how I view things. But that doesn't mean that you have to see it that way as well. And there are so many misconceptions that just because we people who are out in the media are saying certain things, that are rules and facts, that you have to do things the certain ways that we do it. And, you know, it's so important to actually just get it out there so people can understand this a little bit better. Okay, so now we've heard your kind of perspective on it, Sam. And my perspective of it all is that I believe that so many, and especially maybe new pagans, struggle with this because many tend to basically get very obsessed in the beginning due to various factors. And maybe you just had a sudden awakening of sorts and then you start to obsess over all things spiritual because you're so excited for this new chapter in your life and you run to the nearest mystic shop and you buy the whole store. And maybe you start to obsess over certain deities and certain pantheons of various reasons and then try to force it. And when people have obsessed and forced things for a while, they start to realize or wake up from their little bubble more and more with time, as they don't really get those big epic experiences with deities or other things that they thought that they would. They just don't get whatever that they expected or anticipated all the time. And as a result of that, they start to feel empty, start to doubt and all of that fun jazz. And there's just that factor, which I talked about in some of my previous episodes, that people have this misconception that you always have to have this like almost daily connection to the deities or entities and that you have to have matrons or patrons. And it's just not true. Connection to the deities in any form is such a rare thing, as I have explained so many times before. But people, and especially new pagans, tend to believe that it's a must to have to even be able to walk a pagan path, which is just not the case. And I think that many YouTubers, I'm not going to name any names here, but many YouTubers are kind of portraying that, you know, you should have this daily almost contact with deities and entities and just being connected like all the time. And it's just not, that is just not true. And it kind of puts a false picture up for especially new pagans that doesn't know a whole lot about paganism or what's happening to them if they had like some sort of awakening, for example. And I can understand that it's hard for them to kind of find information about stuff. And I can understand that they are sitting down Googling and they find this YouTube people that unfortunately kind of portrays things in a bad way, so to say. And even if you do have established a special connection to a certain deity, that doesn't mean that you're always in communication with that deity all day, every day. And that stuff can come very randomly. And sometimes you don't get anything for a long time. And sometimes you could get things very frequently. And it all depends. And it's often very random. And I don't know if you have an experience with that or...
I don't know. And I feel like that's an acceptable answer in my case. You know, I think you put it really well that you don't need to have daily communication with a deity. And in my mind, and from what I was learning from in the early days, you needed that you needed to actively communicate with your gods. Mm. And I will say the YouTuber who I discovered first was very adamant that he had almost weekly conversations with deities, that he had these massive moments in his life where these massive signs were coming to him. And now I'm very doubtful of that because, you know, that's not how it works. And it's, I mean, it's sometimes if you're very lucky, you might have that connection. And I've met multiple people who claim that they were having, you know, dreams with visions of deities and all this stuff. And here I am over here, like, you know, maybe I've had one or two. I've had some pretty big moments. I told this story once on the podcast, my old podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, my job, I worked for Walt Disney World. I don't think I ever named it, but I don't really care anymore. But I worked for Walt Disney World, which is a very stressful job. You can find 100 videos and 100 articles about how stressful it is for the cast members there. And there was a day where I, you know, COVID was about to hit. This was pre-COVID. And I was walking out after having probably one of the absolute worst days of my time at Walt Disney World. And I looked up and I just said, I need help. I need a sign right now. You know, I was so lost at that point professionally, what I needed to do. And I said, should I quit my job? And in that moment, a gust of wind so strong, which was weird for this area because it was an open, it was a closed area. So there wasn't much wind. I mean, there was a draft that blew through there, but nothing this strong came. And it took my name tag, which was pinned to my chest, and it threw it probably 50 feet. And I had to run after it because those things are expensive to replace at Disney World. And I was like, okay, guys, I get it. That's a pretty good sign. And then the next day it was announced that COVID was going to happen and it was looking like we were going to go into a lockdown. And I didn't get to quit until we came back from COVID, but that stuck with me. And I will forever say that a deity reached out to me that day and told me to quit, told me that that wasn't the right place for me. And I'll say it wasn't, because if I hadn't have quit Disney, I would never have written my book. I would never have moved back to Missouri. I probably would have been more miserable than I was. And I wouldn't have experienced some stuff that I've experienced post Disney that I will always cherish.
Yeah. And that is an epic story, like, really. And sometimes, you know, these kind of big events do happen, but they don't happen like very frequently. It actually is very rare. So yeah, you're very lucky to have gotten that, really. And it's not something that is common amongst people. So you listeners who are listening to this, please don't believe that these things are stuff that happens like all the time that you ask the deities for things. It's just like certain occasions.
I will say that this moment when I asked for help, it was a very desperate time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have quit without that push, because quitting a job is very scary in America. You know, there's no protections for people who quit their job. There are protections for people who get fired, but you know, if you're going to quit a job, you have to have one in reserve. And at that time, you know, it was very hard to get hired. And after COVID, it wasn't, because nobody wanted to go back to work. But I will say that, yeah, it's not something that happens every day. I will say I have never, since that moment, had something that big happen. And, you know, I haven't asked, but, you know, but at the same time, I don't expect another big intervention like that. And I would tell your listeners, don't expect every question you pose to the gods to get answered. You know, they're busy people. They're just like us. They have lives. You know, that's something I've always thought about, that the gods are not just there listening to you 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're not going to hear you. I mean, but eventually you might have these moments, and it's a very, very faith reaffirming thing to have them happen. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And even I and other people like me don't have daily contact or epic things happening to us all the time. It's very occasional, and sometimes more and sometimes less. Sometimes nothing at all for periods of time to some. It all depends, really.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I will say that there are a lot of people out there who will use stories like this. And this is just basic psychology, I think. There are people who will use stories like this in every faith. It's not just refined to the Norse faith. If I might go into my usual talk of Christianity. You know, there are people who will say they've had these big encounters with any God to get their followers to believe them. And that's a historical thing. You know, there have been politicians, great generals, leaders who say they are in direct communication with the gods and that the gods want them to do this and that you need to follow them because the gods said this. And you should never feel pressured to follow someone because they said a god told them to do something. Because I guarantee you, probably 99% of the time, they're bullshitting to get you to follow them. And yeah. Pardon the language. I don't know if you curse on your podcast.
No, it's all right. You can curse. So long as it's like, you know, good curse.
Gotcha. No, gotcha. I won't use any F-bombs.
Good. Yeah, that's right. And you shouldn't follow a person blindly without having your kind of skepticism on. You need to be, and that is something that I always tell people in my podcast, that you need to stay skeptical and logical about things. And you need to kind of trust your own instincts and your own experiences, and just don't like blindly follow somebody just because they say that they had an experience or a message of some sort. You just kind of, you don't have to follow that person just because of that. And also on the speak of the deities, in some cases, some deities can certainly cause you a lot of confusion too, though. Like under a certain period, they're so intense and all over you, and then they disappear for a long ass time, and sometimes even several years, and then they come back intense AF again, making you even more confused too. And certain deities are really like that in their nature, like the Celtic goddess Morrigan. She can be very intense at times, but she's also what I call the silent watcher. And she can turn as silent on you as she is intense, really. And she's done that to me, actually, which I think I mentioned in my Matron Patron episodes. And she still can do like that from time to time. But as she was the one starting it all for me in the very beginning, you can guess that I was very confused when she all of a sudden just seemed to be disappearing, which she didn't really do, but she was silent, so to say. And that could make me feel all of a sudden disconnected like so and begin to worry and doubt and all of that. And now I know that that's just her ways as a goddess. And she taught me that important lesson with it all. But back then, in that very moment when it all started, I was so confused to like even begin with. And her just disappearing in the middle of it all, and me being the skeptic that I naturally am on top of it all, like, you know, I mean, I really struggled with what to believe. Was it real or imagination? And why and how was this all happening to me and so on? But I quickly decided to just be calm with it all and awaiting things to unfold naturally as they came, and not try to hardcore analyze everything with my logical and analytic skeptical mind. And I really grew both spiritually and as a person in general in so many ways with that important lesson that Morrigan gave me back then. And I'm really grateful for that. And it was a hard lesson, let me tell you, but very important and good for me. But what I want to say with this is that, you know, you should keep like a healthy analytic and skeptical mind. You shouldn't be like overly analytic like I was, but you shouldn't be like non-analytic and skeptical either. I mean, you have to find that balance. Or what do you say?
No, I completely agree. I would say there's definitely a balance you have to have between your spiritual side, your analytical side, and your skeptical side. And you have to keep those in balance, or one will overpower the other. And then that can sometimes lead to misconceptions.
Yeah. And by the way, Odin is also similar in that way, actually. Although Odin is not as intense in the same way that Morrigan can be, or at least not from what I have experienced with him as of yet, anyhow. He's just lurking in the shadows all the time. And he's very much an observer, which is so annoying sometimes, but yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think I've ever had an encounter of Odin ever. And I always question that, but, you know, talking to you about it, it's very, you know, common. And don't, you know, that's another thing. It's kind of backtracking. Don't feel like you have to have these connections. And if you don't have these connections, you're not meant to walk this path, because that's, it just means that, you know, you're doing it right if you're not having these connections all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I want to ask you, like, why do you think that so many people has gotten all of these misconceptions that they need to have this everyday contact and epic things happening to them all the time, like in the first place? I mean, is it because the YouTubers?
I think it's a multi-level problem, and problem I use really loosely. It's not really a problem. It's just, it's a misconception. Let's just keep it with that word. I will say that it is partially the cultural erasure that a lot of pagan, sects have gone through. Because that's true. You know, over the years, other groups have worked very hard to erase our literature, our history, and our practice. And whenever you are left in a position where you have to put things back together piece by piece, and only the biggest stories with the biggest things survive, that can lead to issues. But then you have the YouTuber culture, which has developed over the last almost 20 years. Over the last almost 20 years. And that culture has become very toxic to spirituality. And it's not just pagan spirituality, every faith, every religion, every creed can track some kind of issue back to YouTube. And I love YouTube, don't get me wrong.
But it can really mess things up.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, you have these big YouTubers who will spout what they believe. And then in the middle of a pandemic, host a gathering. And you know, it's stuff like that that makes me wonder if they're in it for the spirituality or if they're in it for the money. And that's something I've suffered with personally, because when I started, when we started the podcast, both our podcasts, we were under the misconception that we had to have a money-making source to be successful, which you don't. And so we had a Patreon that never went anywhere, and I'm glad it didn't. You know, we never made any money off that. And so we took it away because we realized you don't need to make money off this. And I think that's another problem. I think that a lot of these misconceptions are being generated because for some reason it makes people give people money. And know that you never have to give anyone money for knowledge. There are ways, even in the scientific community, which I come from with a background in paleontology and geology, there are ways to read papers without paying money for it. Now, is it scummy to do that? A little bit, but I am very much on the boat of knowledge should be freely shared, that if you want to learn a profession or a trade, you should have a method to legally learn that without having to pay a fortune. You know, right now, I think I've talked about it. You know, I've covered it. You know, it's just, I think money is an issue. I think YouTube is an issue. And I think cultural and historical appropriation is an issue. And I think all of these issues combined form one crazy Captain Planet of a bad situation.
Yeah, I definitely think that money is a very big contributor to it. And I mean, also with these YouTubers, it is that, I mean, like so many pagans are coming out on YouTube and whatnot, and they claim that they got these amazing connections with their matrons and patrons and stuff. And people actually naturally start to compare themselves to them too, which is maybe kind of natural that you do perhaps. And they get so influenced. But I just wonder, like, where has all the healthy logic and skepticism gone within people? I actually try to remind everyone, like, all the time.
Yeah, and I think it should be reminded. I think it can't be stated enough that you don't, you know, we've said it like four or five times, but you know, never, ever feel like somebody else is doing something better than you, because they're not. You are you. You are an individual. You are a person, and you are doing what is right for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I also hope that people do not let their imaginations, hopes and obsessions and wishful thinkings carry them away to Neverland, basically, either. So, stay skeptical, stay logical. And another factor can be that you maybe have too much going on in life that just takes all your energy and focus on the spirituality away, and you start to feel disconnected because of that. And it could also be that you have a tough time in your life. And because of that, you're experiencing spiritual disconnection just because you're too busy feeling depressed or stressed or things like that. And yeah, maybe you just have too much going on at work, for example, and you just don't feel the connection because of it. Maybe. What do you think of that?
I absolutely agree. I will say when the biggest moment of spiritual disconnect happened for me, I was extremely overloaded. I was in the middle of buying a house. I was in the middle of a job I didn't really enjoy, but I was trying to enjoy. My podcast had just, you know, flamed into the ocean. And, you know, it was a very stressful time. I was very depressed. I was in a new place with very few friends, and it just made me feel alone. And I think part of that definitely funneled into my spiritual disconnect. So yeah, absolutely. I will say that your mood and your mental state is going to lend to how you feel towards your spirituality.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And good said. And also, what can we do to actually get our connection back then? Like, in your opinion, how did you do after you got the advice from me, for example?
After I got the advice from you, I really began thinking about stuff. I picked up a couple more books that I hadn't read in a while. For instance, I skimmed through the Havamal, and just reading, you know, those words and reading a lot more self-reflection. I stopped relying on others for my spirituality. So I didn't look for a new group, and I'm still not, you know, I'm not looking for a new group now.
Yeah, you don't need groups.
Yeah. No, and you don't need someone to tell you what to do. In my case, I do appreciate your advice. You know, you're very wise.
Oh, thank you.
So coming to you really helped. But I will say what I did was just a lot of self-reflection, a lot of meditating, a lot of reading, and a lot of focus, a lot of giving myself a space in my house to worship in and to study in, and just really realizing that what I needed to do was be me. Be myself and focus on what's best for me and not as a whole of the universe.
Yeah, that sounds really good, actually. And I'm glad that you came out of it finally.
Me too.
So I think in conclusion that we just want to tell you guys to chill out. Take it as it comes and do not expect epic things and communication every day. Just chill, all right? We all experience spiritual disconnection in one way or another, and some more than others in some ways, but there's no need to panic over it nonetheless. And don't push it. Don't force anything. Just let it be. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if it's not, it's totally fine too, right?
Absolutely. I think you are 100% correct.
All right. And I think we need to round this up now, Sam, or what do you think?
Well, I think we do. And if you will pardon me for throwing my giant neon sign out here, but I'd like to talk about my book.
Yeah, sure. Please go on.
So I will say my book, the current book I've published, isn't about paganism, but I'd love if you read it. If you love dinosaurs and stuff like that, I would say give it a read. It's called Archosaur. You can find us on Instagram and places like that. We have a Facebook page that we never update because I hate Facebook. But Instagram, definitely check us out on Instagram. We're available on Amazon and Kindle. We're also free on Kindle Unlimited. So if you have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, or if you know someone, go ahead and just borrow the book. Read it for free and have fun. Or if you just message me and say, hey, I listened to you on the Pagan Mom Pod and I thought you were really cool, might give you a free copy. I
don't know. Oh. You hear that, guys?
You hear that? Just come on over and say, hey, I like the book. I want to read it. And I'll be like, okay, you can read it. But I'll tell you, and this is what I wanted to talk about more than anything.
Right.
Through our conversations and through the period of recovery from spiritual disconnect, I started working on another book. I started drafting one out about paganism.
Awesome.
And in my mind, it is a commentary on not only the state of the pagan community, but what happens when you feel disconnected from your spirituality and you have to wander. I will say it's set in a post-apocalyptic future.
Ooh, exciting.
It's going to be a romance road trip book. So look for that sometime in the next 2 years.
I look forward to that, and I hope to get like a signed copy.
Of course. And I think I told you the other day, it's going to be dedicated to you because.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I'm so honored about that. Like, really.
I will put a big pagan mom podcast advert in the back of the book.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Just keep an eye out. We hope you follow us. And we hope I hope you guys enjoyed me coming on this episode. I was very hesitant to come back to pagan podcasting, but I felt this was a topic that I'd really like to talk about. And when you approached me about it, I was really looking forward to it.
And it was a pleasure having you over. It was really fun. And I'm looking forward to actually making more episodes with you if you're up for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If there's a topic that you feel that I would be good to talk about, I will be glad to come on and talk about it.
Awesome. So I already have some stuff cooking in my cauldron, which you kind of know, I think.
Yeah, I know a couple.
Yeah. So, we're going to come back with more information about that, guys. But I always end my episodes with a certain thing, Sam. And do you have a clue of what that is, perhaps?
Is it the Swedish episode or Swedish episode of the word?
No, it's the Swedish word of the week.
I got that backwards.
And as you are my guest here today, you are going to try to repeat the word I'm saying. Okay. I'm thinking I will do this with every guest that I'm having on here from now on as a little fun challenge, but are you up for it?
I am 100% up to it. Let's do this.
Awesome. Okay. So the Swedish word of the week is gäst. And can you even guess what that means, Sam? Do you know?
I do not.
It's actually guest. So gäst is guest. It sounds pretty similar, doesn't it?
Now that you put them together, it really does. How is it spelled?
It's spelled G, A with two dots over it, which is Ä in Swedish, S and T. So G, A with two dots, S, T. Gäst. Now say it again.
So it's gäst.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm impressed by your pronunciation. You could almost learn Swedish fast, I think.
I've heard it's a very easy language to kind of pronounce if you understand, I guess, where to put the right oomph into the right words. So I'm glad I got it right, though.
Yeah, I'm impressed. And all right, it's been a blast having you over as my guest, Sam. And thank you so much for your time. And it's really been an honor having you on board my longship today. So skål to you for having been my very first guest.
Well, I was very happy to be your very first guest.
And I'm really looking forward to even more episodes together.
No, me too. I can't wait to come back. I hope your listeners had fun. It was great to talk to you all again. Hopefully some of you guys listened to the old podcast and were happy to see me. If not, I'm back anyway.
Yeah. And thank you guys so much for listening, and lots of love to all of you. Ha det gott. And try to say that too, Sam, by the way.
Arigat.
Ha det gott.
Hard a gut.
You're good. Okay, I will train you to be better. Anyways, hard a gut to everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hard mir skilled.